Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Neinkin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Se Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects I want to discuss on this week's program. The first is that this black Nazi NFL player is using Twitter to praise Hitler and agree with Hitler, and agree, of course, with the black Hitler, Louis Farrakhan. He's praising Hitler, he's praising Farrakhan, and nothing's going to happen to him. Black Lives Matter, all these other hypocritical, evil, racist movements. If anybody dares say anything about blacks or about other groups, automatically they're finished. Their career is finished. This guy praises Hitler. Hitler! And nothing's going to happen to him. We're going to discuss the implications of that in the sick Jewish reaction, the sick self-hating Jewish reaction. And the second subject we want to discuss are these explosions, these huge explosions that are taking place in Iran, in Muslim Nazi terrorist Iran, near Nazi Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, their nuclear program, their missile program. There's no question Israel is behind these, no question in my mind at least, that Israel is behind these explosions. And it just proves how easily Israel can finish the job and completely destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program if we didn't have such a cowardly Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu. And Netanyahu has until the November election to do it with a president who gives him a green light to do it. Donald Trump gives him a green light to do it. And he has a Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who gives him a green light to do it. That's going to end in November with the November election if Joe Biden wins the election, as the polls show that he will. God forbid, we hope he doesn't. But according to the polls, Biden is probably going to win. So Netanyahu has until the November election to finish the job. And of course, he's not doing it. He's only doing partial steps that are not going to solve the problem. But what has happened with these explosions prove our point, with the JTF's point, that this so easily could be done if only we had a prime minister with just an ounce of courage and faith and decency. But first, let's start off by speaking about this black NFL Nazi. His name is Deshaun Jackson. I don't know if it's Deshaun or Deshaun. I'm going to call him Deshaun Jackson. They have these weird names that they distort and make up. This is part of the black subculture in America. They deliberately misspell names and deliberately create these weird names. Anyway, Deshaun Jackson, he is with the Philadelphia Eagles. And he has been he's been quoting Hitler, Adolf Hitler, on Twitter. He's using Hitler quotes and agreeing with Hitler quotes in response to the Jews. In other words, he's saying he agrees with Hitler on the Jews. I mean, agrees with Adolf Hitler. And then has put up other posts agreeing with the anti-Semitic and racist rants of the black Nazi Louis Farrakhan, who has also praised Adolf Hitler frequently. And has also called for a Holocaust against the Jews and for the extermination of the entire white race. What's going to happen to Deshaun Jackson? First of all, let me make something clear to you sick Jews out there, you sick, cowardly Jews out there, including Jews who consider themselves to be right-wing but are anything but. Nazis have no rights. Anyone who praises Hitler has zero rights. What the Nazis did to the Jews, the same thing should happen to them 1,000 times over. They murdered over 6 million innocent Jews in the worst crime in human history. They deserve zero mercy. Mercy. The word mercy, even in the same sentence as Nazis, is an obscenity beyond all words. Is spitting on the graves of 6 million Jews. They have no rights. They don't have a right to Twitter. They don't have a right to free speech. They don't have a right to breathe. Nazis have no right to breathe. They have no right to exist. Nazis live and are part of an ideology to put the Jews out of existence, and what they want to do to the innocent Jews and what they did to over 6 million innocent Jews should happen to them 1,000 times over. They have zero rights. And any Jew who thinks differently, any Jew who thinks differently is an evil, sick, immoral piece of filth. Now, I mean, I see Jews saying he shouldn't be fired from his job. Fired from his job! That's not 1/1,000,000,000th of what should happen to him when he praises Hitler. I'm 63 years old, and the Holocaust is before my time. But at least when I was growing up, I knew enough about it to know what that mean, to know at least have some inkling, some idea of what it means to be a Nazi and what Holocaust means. Today, people are acting like this is a political difference, and he shouldn't have said it, and he made a mistake, and it was stupid, and he could apologize, and then it'll be all over. What, are you kidding me? Praising Nazis and Hitler can never be forgiven. Never. This is Amalek. And what they want to do to the Jews should happen to them 1,000 times over. And there is no compromise on that. They have no right to speak or breathe. They have no right to exist, Nazis. Because that's what they, in their ideology, promote for the Jewish people. And now, this gorilla-faced Nazi, okay, and he's such an ugly, inferior, low IQ, ignorant, gorilla-faced Nazi. Ignorant, stupid, ugly, gorilla-faced piece of subhuman excrement. Excrement! He looks like excrement, he smells like excrement, he is excrement. This gorilla-faced Nazi piece of subhuman filth Twitters in support of Hitler and uses Hitler quotes to describe his views on the Jews, quoting Adolf Hitler. And I don't care if the Hitler quote was real. He thought it was a real quote from Hitler. He wanted to say, I agree with Hitler, I agree with them, I agree. And of course, Hitler would have killed him too. But that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. The ugly, vicious hatred. He really, genuinely wants to murder every single Jew in the cruelest, most vicious way possible. And again, whoever shows mercy to the cruel, in the end will be cruel to the merciful. That is true Torah Judaism. You are not allowed to show mercy toward merciless beasts. He deserves no mercy, and Nazis deserve no mercy. Anti-Semites deserve no mercy. None. He quotes Hitler, and then he starts quoting Louis Farrakhan to explain what should be done with the Jews. And he's with the Philadelphia Eagles. His football team is the Philadelphia Eagles. Who owns the Philadelphia Eagles? Jeffrey Lurie. A Jew, a self-hating Jew, an assimilated, intermarried, self-hating Jew. I think he's intermarried, but he's certainly assimilated and self-hating. And Jeffrey Lurie wanted to even do a program about Hitler and the Holocaust. He's one of these Holocaust Jews. You know, all these Jews with their museums and monuments about the Holocaust, and then they turned the Holocaust into something where that also means you shouldn't be against gays, and it also means you shouldn't be against this group and that group. What, are you crazy? The Holocaust was an attack on over 6 million Jews, period. And Jews should not, and the main focus of Jewish life should not be the Holocaust, it should be the resurrection of the State of Israel, and the Jews fighting back and destroying and killing their enemies. That should be when the Israelis kill their enemies and defeat their enemies. That's what should make Jews proud. We should remember the Holocaust because that's what happens when Jews don't kill their enemies. So Jeffrey Lurie, he's the owner of the team that this gorilla-faced Nazi, this ugly gorilla-faced Nazi plays for. He's the owner of the team. Jeffrey Lurie, a Jew. self-hating Jew. And who's the general manager of the team? Howard Roseman, another self-hating Jew. Two Jews! He works for two Jews. The Jews give him jobs, the Jews promote him, pay his salary, give him everything that he's got. And he quotes Hitler and praises Hitler and praises Farrakhan. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. What if someone had said something offensive to blacks? Would they last 5 minutes? You're not even allowed to say all lives matter, because only black lives matter. White lives don't matter. Jewish lives certainly don't matter. This guy's praising the murder of 6 million Jewish lives. That's good, according to this subhuman, gorilla-faced, low IQ, illegitimate piece of excrement. Ugly, filthy, inferior excrement. And the Jews are saying, he shouldn't even be fired. I see Jews say, oh, maybe he should get a fine, or he should receive better understanding. He's in touch with a rabbi. A so-called rabbi would speak to someone who said this, who praised Hitler, so that he could con his way around this? The CEO of Goya Foods produces certain types of food. The CEO issued a statement praising Donald Trump. And there's a boycott against Goya Foods. They want to destroy the company and destroy this person because he dared to praise Donald Trump. You're not allowed to have a legitimate political point of view in the United States anymore. That's forbidden. But praising Adolf Hitler is okay. And praising Louis Farrakhan, who said, Hitler is a great man. Hitler was a very great man. I like when the Jews call Farrakhan Hitler. The Jews deserve another Holocaust. That other gorilla-faced Nazi piece of subhuman filth. He and his supporters are allowed to do anything and step on anybody. But if the CEO of Goya Foods expresses a political view that he praised something Donald Trump did. What? You praise Donald Trump? You can praise Adolf Hitler, but you can't praise Donald Trump. You can call for a Holocaust against the Jewish people. That's fine. But don't you dare praise Donald Trump. Don't you dare say all lives matter. Then you'll be fired. Then you'll be blacklisted. And your life will be put in danger as well. And the news media, Yimash Mamba Zichram Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may their names and memories be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot. That's a traditional Jewish curse for our enemies. The news media, including the self-hating, slimy Jews in the news media. Okay? Those Semitic serpents who betray their own people in the news media day and night. Those filthy Semitic anti-Semites. Who makes such a scandal if a woman says something in a hotel that's offensive to a black guest. They ask the black guest to identify themselves because they're in the pool. They're in a swimming pool. Nobody else is swimming. Could you please show us your ID and show us, prove that you're in the hotel? I don't want to do that. You're just doing that because I'm black. And then this beast, this other gorilla-faced beast, she takes a picture of it. And then there's a big scandal. All of a sudden it's on ABC and CBS and NBC and all the network news. It's a big scandal. A white woman who works in a hotel dared to ask a black woman to prove that her and her illegitimate and her two illegitimate children, her two bastardized children, really are guests in the hotel. She just wanted proof of that. And this woman went off on a tirade, and that's racism, and that becomes a national scandal. But an NFL player praising Hitler who murdered over 6 million innocent Jews, who committed the worst and cruelest and most barbaric crime in human history. That doesn't make the news. That's nothing. And if it makes the news, they're very sympathetic. The news media is very sympathetic to him. He made a mistake. All right, he praised Hitler. Listen, let bygones be bygones. In recent years, actually in 2018, there were 600,000 interracial crimes in the United States. 600,000 interracial crimes. What does interracial crimes mean? A black and a white were involved. Either there was a black, there was a criminal and a victim. Criminal and victim. 600,000 times in the United States. Over 90% of the time, the black was the criminal and the white was the victim. Over 90% of the time in those 600,000 crimes that were committed in the United States, over 90% of the time, the black was the criminal, the attacker, the criminal, the rapist, the robber, the murderer, whatever. And the white person was the innocent victim. Over 90% of the time. Even though the blacks are only 15% of the population and the whites are over 60% of the population. So it should be, whites should be the criminals 4-1. And instead, over 90% of the time it's black. That means it's blacks attacking whites. If you put that into proper proportion with their numbers in the population, I mean, you have any idea what that means? I mean, that means that you're something like 100 times, I don't have the, I'm just throwing out a number, I'm not giving you the exact number. Maybe 100 times more likely that a black is attacking a white than the other way around. And yet if you look at the media, all you see are whites supposedly attacking blacks. And what are whites attacking blacks? What does that mean? Blacks rape whites, murder whites, terrorize whites. Commit every crime under, rob them, burglarize their homes, commit every crime under the sun. And again, the vast majority of these crimes are blacks doing it to whites. The white so-called crimes against blacks are, oh, they said something in the park that offended some black person in the park. Or they said, I mean, you don't have white burglars going and breaking into black houses. That's just not happening. That's almost never happening. You don't have white men raping black women. I mean, that's just almost never happening. But you have a lot of black men that rape white women. A lot. And sexually attack white women. And women of every other race. I mean, blacks are only 15% of the population, and over 90% of the black of interracial crimes are committed by blacks. Those figures are unbelievable. I mean, that means this is almost a completely one-sided affair of blacks committing a war, waging war against whites in this country, waging war against them. And if you watch the media and you listen to the media, it's the opposite that's taking place. It's the blacks who are the victims. Oh, and the police are not nice enough to the blacks. Police aren't nice enough to them. By the way, a lot of these incidents involve black cops. Very often black cops are there as well. Black and Latino cops are there as well. And you have these... And you don't have... By the way, in I don't think in any of these incidents you don't have a situation where the black person obeyed the police officer, did what he was supposed to do, followed the law. There was resistance and violence in almost all of these incidents. And if there was a case of abuse, it's very, very, very rare compared to what blacks do to whites and what blacks do to other blacks. Very rare. Very rare. If blacks have fear walking the streets and going out, it's from their fellow blacks. And if they are fearful of the police instead, there's something wrong there. It's because they're up to no good. Not because they're just innocent people who are being victimized solely because of their race. Let me tell you something. And this is a message especially for my fellow Jews here. If you don't hate your enemies, you are committing the worst sin you can imagine in Judaism. Judaism is not, it does say turn the other cheek in the Bible, that's true, but that's the Christian Bible. In our Bible, it doesn't say that. In our Bible, we destroy our enemies. We do unto them what they want to do to us. In our Bible. Okay? Turn the other cheek and love your enemy. That's in the Christian Bible and the hypocrisy of the Christians, because they killed more people than anyone in history. The European Christians murdered more people than anyone in history by far. With all their turn the other cheek and love your enemy and all the other baloney that's written in their Bible, okay, they never follow any of it. In our Bible, we don't have rules like that, okay? We are kind people and compassionate people, and we're filled with love and righteousness. We're a kind, compassionate, decent people. No one is kinder and more compassionate and more filled with love than the Jewish people. But we are not allowed to have that attitude toward evil, monstrous people that want to destroy us. Those people deserve to get what they want to do to us, deserve to have that happen to them instead. And any Jew that doesn't think that way is evil and immoral and self-hating and a Jewish anti-Semite. That's why we don't mourn when Floyd is killed by police or other black criminals are killed by police. Most blacks in America have declared war on the Jewish people. They've declared war on whites in general and Jews in particular. Yes, literally. And that means that the vast majority of blacks have made themselves our enemies. Just as much as the Arabs and the Muslims are our enemies, the blacks are our enemies. If there are exceptions, if there's a minority of blacks that don't hate Jews and that are an exception, we have nothing against them. We're a very fair and just people. But anyone of any race who is against the Jews and anti-Semitic, we're against them. And by the way, righteous Gentiles are also supposed to think this way. Righteous Gentiles are supposed to live by the laws of Noah, of Noach, Bnei Noach. Sheva mitzvot Bnei Noach, the seven commandments that were given to Noah. That's how the righteous Gentiles are supposed to live. They should also think this, and they're supposed to support Israel and the Jewish people. Just they're supposed to also be supporting Israel and the Jewish people against these monsters. Shaul, the first king of Israel, disobeyed God and did some things that were very bad, really bad things. The thing that brought him down, though, was the mercy he had for Agag, the king of the Amalekites. The Amalekites were an evil people that wanted to destroy the Jews. They were like the German Nazis and the other Nazis and people like this NFL player, beasts that wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And Shaul, the first king of Israel, was ordered by Shmuel Hanavi, by Samuel the prophet, to kill Agag and to kill all the Amalekites, all of them. Wipe them out just like they want to do to the Jewish people. And he didn't do it. And because of that, he was brought down. That was the end of his. That was the end of him being king. That was what finally brought him down. That was something Hashem would not forgive him for that. That was unforgivable that he let this monster live. Even for another day to let this monster live was unforgivable. Imagine the punishment awaiting leaders like Bibi Netanyahu, who shook the bloody hands of the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat and other Arab Nazis that Netanyahu kisses their behind and gives billions of Jewish dollars to. True Jews hate those who hate us and love those who love us. Those who are righteous, we treat with righteousness. Those who are merciful, we are merciful toward. Those who are kind, we're kind to, and we're commanded to be kind to. Those who are cruel, evil, murdering monsters, we are commanded to treat them the way they want to treat us. All the fake stories about anti-black racism and anti-black prejudice. This is a racist country against whites in general and Jews in particular. That's the institutionalized racism in this country. If you're black, because of the color of your skin, you get ahead. That's institutionalized racism in the truest sense of the word. The next thing we want to speak about this week, and by the way, nobody would ever say to you, show me another Jewish group, another Jewish spokesman who will ever say what I just said on this video, ever tell you this. And believe me, what I have told you is the true Jewish message. That is what Judaism truly demands of the Jewish people. And the only leader who would ever speak like this was our beloved Rabbi Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. Rabbi Meir Kahana, blessed memory. May God avenge his blood. He was the only one who told us the truth, and he was murdered 30 years ago. But someday the world will live by that truth. Someday the forces of righteousness will prevail and all the wicked will be destroyed. That's what the prophets promise, and everything that it says in the Bible, in the Jewish Bible, and everything it says in the Torah and the Jewish Bible will come true. Everything, down to the last detail, it will come true. And then some. In other words, it'll be even more glorious, be even greater than what we can imagine when we read and interpret what it says, because we can't even imagine the great things that are going to come, but they're all going to come to fruition. You can be sure of that. We came back to Israel after 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, we were told how crazy it is to even think about going back to Israel. What people comes back to their country 2,000 years later? What are you, crazy? And from the four corners of the earth, you're going to come back and you're going to turn the desert into a garden, and have the most beautiful, flush, magnificent country in the world now, which Israel has become. And you're going to defeat your enemies. 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them. 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight. You're going to defeat your enemies outnumbered 100-1. What are you, kidding me? And all of it happened. And we win wars in 6 days, and Israel quadruples in size in 6 days, and the Jews still haven't gotten the message. I ask you, how can we have a generation so brain dead? And not one leader gets up and tells us any of this. None. But someday, the Jewish people will be awakened, and so will righteous Gentiles. Righteous Gentiles will be awakened as well. The other subject we want to speak about is Iran. Muslim Nazi Iran building nuclear bombs. A subject we have been speaking about for decades. For decades we've warned about this. Literally for decades. At least 25 years I've been speaking about this nonstop. And Rabbi Kahana spoke about the nuclear threat from countries like Iran and Iraq and other Muslim countries in the 1980s. In the 70s and 80s he was warning about this. Now, Iran has come perilously close to building nuclear bombs, and this will set off a nuclear arms race in the Muslim world. You'll have 20, 30 Muslim countries armed with nuclear weapons. That would guarantee a nuclear holocaust. And Israel, tiny little Israel, will be smack in the middle of all of this. And believe me, she'll be target number one. Maybe the United States will be target number one, Israel target number two. I don't know which one, whether America or Israel will be target number one. Both countries will definitely be in the bullseye. Iran must not be allowed to build nuclear bombs, and Iran is very close to doing it. Israel, look at the incredible sophistication of what Israel has done. All these explosions are taking place in the middle of Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. This huge explosion destroyed a major portion now of Iran's nuclear bomb-making factory let me get the exact name. It's a Farsi. It's a name in Farsi. Natanz. Natanz is the place where they didn't want the UN and the international inspectors to come in, and where they're clearly trying to develop the centrifuges, and they're trying to develop enough fuel at a high enough percentage of purity in order to build nuclear weapons. There's no question that they're doing that. And all of a sudden, this giant explosion in the middle, the giant explosion takes place in the middle of, in the middle of this, and there's major, major damage there that will take, you know, the experts and people who've seen the satellites have said this should take at least a year or two for them to rebuild this and catch up. This will set them back at least another year or two. Israel, of course, nobody has taken credit for it, but I think Israel did it. I don't think the United States, by the way, United States intelligence is capable of doing it. I think the CIA are an organization of morons. I don't think they're capable of doing it. But the Israeli Mossad is capable of doing it. They're the best in the world, bar none. And they're capable of doing it. And if they could do it, remember when all of a sudden they released all the internal documents of their nuclear program. Remember Netanyahu released all these documents a year or two ago at the UN? He said, here are all their documents. And Iran didn't even deny that these really are all of their documents. How stupid. If you have all their documents, if you're that inside the program why don't you just go in and destroy the program? Why don't you destroy it from within and from without and with the Israeli Air Force? Why don't you just go in and destroy it? We've been saying for decades that Israel can do this, that it can be done. And this is being proven now. Explosions went off now at their missile plant as well, at their big missile factory as well, where they're doing their missile, producing their missiles. Israel has set off, I think, 7 or 8 explosions now in different key technological programs now in Iran. And really is setting their program back. I mean, doing major damage. If they're doing this, there is no question that with an all-out frontal attack, they can, within and without, and the people within and from the air as well, there's no question that they can just destroy the entire program. And by the way, if you destroy the entire nuclear program, it would cost Iran hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild. They don't have the money for this. They can't do it now. They are so crippled, economically and otherwise. They can't do it. They would want to, but they can't rebuild. It would take them a long time to get the program back in order and to build things back up. It would take them a long time. And if they were able to do it 10 years from now, if they were able to get back to where they were, let's say 10 years from now, in 10 years from now, you could do it again. You can destroy again. If Israel has this capability, Israel can destroy the program completely and eliminate this scourge, this unbelievable, horrific nuclear threat that hovers over the heads of over 6 million Israeli Jews. Again, 6 million, the number 6 million. And you know that coward Netanyahu would never do these things if he didn't have the permission and a green light from the United States. You know the United States gave him the green light to do it. Now, I'm against Israel asking permission. Israel doesn't have to ask for permission to survive. Israel should do whatever she has to do and shouldn't have to even go to the United States and ask them for permission. Israel should just go in and do what she has to do. I don't care who the president is. And God will protect Israel if Israel does what has to be done to survive and acts as a true Jewish nation is supposed to act. If Israel did that, God would protect Israel. Everything would fall into place and God would protect Israel then. But Netanyahu is an atheist. He doesn't believe in God and has contempt for the Jewish faith and the Torah. And he's a coward. And so he realizes there's this tremendous nuclear threat. Here he has this window of opportunity because Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, are giving him a green light, are saying, do what you want to do. Go ahead, Iran, do what you want to do. They're giving them the green light. They're letting the Israelis do what they want. Israel can go in now and do what has to be. Israel can go in and take and finish the job. This is Israel's chance. In November, if Joe Biden wins, that's the end. The opportunity for that is over, and you'd have to do it over the objections of you'd have an American president who will defend Iran and who will protect Iran like Barack Hussein Obama, like Barack Hussein Osama did. Barack Hussein Osama defended Iran and protected Iran and was pumped and was deliberately attempting to assist Iran and build up their economy and build up their ability to build nuclear bombs. And he literally, that is literally what Barack Hussein Osama was doing, together with that other self-hating Jew, John Kerry, who wasn't halachically Jewish, but his father was Cohen. His father was Cohen. His father changed the name and tried to make it Kerry and tried to hide the fact that he's Jewish. Another Jew in hiding. Such scum. Scum! John Kerry, by the way, was the Secretary of State under Barack Hussein Osama when they negotiated that horrific agreement with Iran, giving Iran a $150 billion reward for building nuclear bombs and carrying out a worldwide campaign of massive terrorism, and promising to destroy the United States and Israel, and chanting death to America and death to Israel. And Barack Hussein Osama and John Kerry gave them, rewarded them, and helped them, and were pumping and boosting them. And if Biden is elected, we're going to return to those days. And Biden will probably pick, he will certainly pick an anti-Semite to be his vice presidential candidate, because the Democrat Party is a party of anti-Semites now. He himself is senile, but he will certainly pick a vice president who would succeed him, who will be just as vicious. And so Israel, at that point, would have to do what she does against Iran, over the objections of the United States, instead of the green light that they now have. I think Israel, even in that situation, even if there were objections to the United States, screw whoever doesn't approve of it. Israel does not need permission to survive and do what has to be done to survive. But Netanyahu has until November to finish the job. He's not going to do it. He's such a coward. He's such a disaster. He's not going to do it. He always makes big speeches and declarations and always pulls back in the end and does nothing. He's the biggest bluff that Israel has ever had. And Israel's had nothing but bluffs as prime minister. And Israel is so capable militarily and in terms of their intelligence agencies. They're so capable of doing it. They're so capable of pulling off the ultimate operation. And you know something? As much as the world, the Europeans, the Americans, would all condemn Israel if Israel did this, maybe they would. The United States, I don't think, would condemn Israel. I think under Trump, I think Trump and Pompeo would not condemn Israel for doing this. I think they would give Israel the green light now. The Europeans would condemn. But you know, the world would secretly admire Israel and the Jews if they pulled something like this off. I mean, the incredible ability of this tiny little country, Israel, to do such spectacular things that the Europeans and the Americans can never do. They don't have the skill and the creativity. They have, and by the way, Europeans have some skillful intelligence agencies, but nothing like the Mossad. Nothing. And if Israel pulled this off, they'd get the same admiration that they got in the 1967 Six Day War, when Israel crushed her enemies and defeated her enemies and ignored the world and ignored American pressure from Lyndon Johnson, who imposed an arms embargo on Israel to punish Israel for going to war in 1967. Despite that, the world so admired Israel for its breathtaking, miraculous victory of biblical proportions in 1967. The world so admired Israel. I mean, even the news media was pro-Israel in 1967. Even the Jew-hating news media. And if they don't like us, who cares if they like us? My rabbi, Rabbi Meir Kahana, what a great leader. He had the greatest saying. He actually quoted another Israeli leader who said it, but didn't mean it. But he would always say, I would rather have an Israel that the whole world hates than an Auschwitz that the whole world loves, because they honor us and they give us museums and holidays and special commemorations when there are Holocausts against us, because they like that. That they like. That's the situation they like when the Jews are in that situation. So then they give us museums and monuments and commemorations when there's a Holocaust. They love the Holocausts. But when we're winning, that frustrates them, because they don't want us to survive. They don't want us to win. They never wanted us to survive. And Rabbi Kahana said, I'd rather have an Israel the whole world hates than an Auschwitz that the whole world loves. And Rabbi Kahana said, when they're screaming and yelling and condemning us, it means we're winning. That's actually good. That means we're winning. Because they're upset, they're frustrated, because they don't want us to win, they don't want us to survive. Anyway, I want you to know that we have an advertising campaign with Hebrew videos reaching the people of Israel every week. Thousands of Israeli Jews see our videos every week. Those of you who support JTF financially and otherwise, that's where our budget goes to, reaching the Jews of Israel. And one of the six videos that we have in Hebrew that are being advertised, that reach thousands of viewers every single week, one of them is about the need to destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program now. It's one of the things that we're telling the people. It's one of the messages we're bringing to the people of Israel. So at least with JTF, someone is telling the truth. Someone somewhere is telling the truth. And someday that little candle, JTF is like a candle, a little candle in the darkness. But someday that little candle will glow a lot brighter. And we're going to have a different world, because the world will wake up and there will be leaders who will tell the truth. And justice and righteousness will prevail. That day will yet come. But in this generation where we have darkness and good is called evil and evil is called good, in this generation, we are obligated to take a stand and tell the truth and pave the way for when things will change and for when there will be a better day, a brighter day, a day of truth and justice and righteousness. We are commanded to do what has to be done to make sure that the message of truth gets out even in a time of darkness. Just remember, though, don't despair. Because in the end, the good guys are going to win. But in the meantime, we have to do what we have to do to tell the truth and to try to wake people up as quickly as possible in order to avoid as much suffering and as much tragedy until we get to that great day when the forces of good will finally prevail. So we're fighting this battle. And God willing, I hope that we can wake up as many people as possible, and we're going to continue to bring the truth to the people of Israel. That's where our really big campaign is going. That's where we have we've gotten millions of views. I mean, we've gotten over 2 million views in the past 3 years. We've gotten over 2 million views on our videos in Israel, in a country of 6 million Jews. So, you know, our Hebrew video campaign is a major campaign. And here in the United States, with what you see here every week, we're trying also to bring a message of truth to English-speaking people as well in the United States. Together, if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. We can change history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.